Are you curious about the hemp craze? Or do you even know what CBD actually is? Well, stay tuned to this podcast and Unconventional Wellness Radio, and I will break down all things regarding hemp, the farm bill, and all these other things that have caught people's attention in the media lately or even on social media. And I will be happy to explain all of it to you on this latest installment of Unconventional Wellness Radio. Hey, everyone, and welcome to Unconventional Wellness Radio, a powerful and inspiring podcast set to revolutionize and disrupt healthcare. It's time to put you in the driver's seat and be the force of change necessary for the lifestyle you've always wanted. Hey, everyone, what's up? This is Frank Ritz. I'm your host of Unconventional Wellness, a program that is set to let you know about these five pillars of lifestyle that will actually help catapult your wellness to heights that you can never imagine. It's a holistic program which focuses on nutrition, diet, exercise, movement. It focuses on removing toxins, getting better sleep, and reducing your stress. But today I wanted to talk about something that is kind of a hot topic. I wanted to discuss what hemp and CBD and THC and all these other acronyms that are out there right now and what it is all about. So let's just dive right in and let's talk about the history of hemp, or hemp 101, like I like to call it. So back in late of last year, so we're talking about like November, December timeframe, the Congress got together really fast and were able to pass legislation which was signed into law, and it is called the Agricultural Assistance Act, or the Farm Bill is what we all kind of know it as. And what this bill did was it actually provided a lot of different monies to go out to different things that are provided for the entire economy. These are sorts of things that a lot of us use every single day in terms of subsidies and stuff like that for ensuring the capability of Americans getting food. And that's really what the bottom line of the Farm Bill is actually all about. There's some really cool provisions in there in reference to agriculture and veterans and some other really great things. But one of the biggest, like, you know, big ticket items that were on this bill was the consideration of hemp-derived products and what is the legality of those hemp derived products. Because even just this past year in 2018, unless you were in a state that had said okay to the legal ramifications of raising hemp, you know, a lot of those states out west, of course, there was a lot of pushback east of the Mississippi. And really no industry whatsoever. And so what the Farm Bill did was the Farm Bill paved the way of allowing individuals in other states, besides those that are already out west that have passed those state laws, federally, it became all encompassing to say that hemp derived or growing of hemp and hemp derived things are actually okay now. And so that has led to a massive boom. And there is a lot of different folks out there who are trying to create these products. Now, I believe that they are mislabeled, because you will see the acronym CBD out there to describe a lot of these products. People will end up saying like, well, you know, this is CBD oil or whatnot. And I wanted to really make sure that for educational purposes, we understood that, because if you were considering starting something like a hemp oil or something like that, that you are very aware of how these products actually work in order to make sure that you get the best that you possibly can. And so like I need to say a quick disclaimer. Of course, I'm not on here to diagnose or treat or prevent or cure anything. I'm just simply trying to give education about what is hemp and how can we best consider utilizing it in order to look at the overall scope of wellness. I myself am a person who uses hemp. I enjoy the benefits of a lot of different natural plant-based therapies. I speak about these a lot in the Unconventional Wellness Program. And so I believe that food is thy medicine. Food and a lot of these things that we have here on planet Earth are absolutely enough, and more so than enough, for us to be able to have a very, very healthy lifestyle. And so I just wanted to dive in and say that I myself am an avid user. I believe in the power of hemp, and I believe in all of its wonderful little constituents and components and all that kind of stuff. And I want to make sure that I educate in such a way that people can be empowered to understand the power and ability of certain things without really getting inundated with all of the information that might be out there. Because there is a problem when a new, I should say, a quote unquote new discovery is made or something like this happens, is that people flood the market and there might be a lot of misinformation out there, and there might be a lot of people just kind of rushing to make a bunch of money. And you have to be able to sift through that in order to be able to see that people aren't necessarily putting out falsified, or I should say, not as 100% correct of information as they possibly can. Matter of fact, sciences are trying to catch up quickly in understanding a lot of the different benefits of hemp and everything like that as well. So without further ado, let's just talk about really kind of what is hemp. Let's start off with that. So hemp is related to marijuana. I said it. It's bad out there. It is the cannabis plant. Okay. But what is the big difference between the two is that where in marijuana, the largest cannabinoid, and I will explain this here in just a couple of moments, but the largest cannabinoid is tetrahydrocannabinol, which is, also known as the abbreviation THC. So we now know, we have actually studied enough of the, enough of marijuana in terms of its makeup and all that kind of stuff, is that we now know that not only is it tetrahydrocannabinol or a cannabol, but it's actually, also a subtype called Delta 9 THC, which is the actual specific component of marijuana, which gives a person a psychoactive high. And so a lot of people receive very large benefit from, say, like medical marijuana. The problem is, though, is that a lot of folks are really not wanting the psychoactive high that comes along with it. And so that is marijuana in a nutshell. And when you look at hemp, hemp is very closely related to marijuana, but it is a different version of a cannabis plant. And so like it actually has now, instead of THC being the primary cannabinoid, it is now a different cannabinoid, which is known as cannabidiol or CBD. That is the most forward of the actual cannabinoids that come from the hemp plant. And so people have been latching on to this whole like THC versus CBD. And quite honestly, there is a lot more to it than even that. Those are just the ones that are more prevalent, if you will, the one that are in higher concentrations with those particular plants. The fact of the matter is when you look at the cannabis planet as a whole, there is a lot more cannabinoids that we don't even actually really know about. We've scratched the surface on quite a bit of them, but some studies will say as many as 200. Some I've seen say as many as 300 different types of cannabinoids that are resident inside of the plant. And so like, let's talk about what is actually a cannabinoid, okay? So a cannabinoid is the particular constituent or component of a cannabis plant that has a particular chemical makeup, okay? And different ones are going to work differently, okay? So the two primary major cannabinoids that we know about, I've already discussed, THC and CBD. But now we're starting to find out there's a bunch of minor cannabinoids as well. So there's ones called cannabichromene or CBC. I'll just give you the acronym. So there's CBC, CBG, CBN. We're starting to learn that there are a lot of different cannabinoids that have many different types of roles. And the thing is that it is, we'll talk about something called the entourage effect here in a second. And so when we look at a product that is out there on the market, people will usually just, you know, market it as this has so much CBD in it. Okay. But you got to take it one step further, because not only do we need to talk about the primary cannabinoids that are in that product, but the question is what type of a product is it actually? And so this is where it comes into a couple of different concepts called the different types of names that you may see associated with the product itself, okay? And there's three that we're going to talk about predominantly that I myself have seen out there in the market and stuff like that. And that would be full spectrum or a distillate or an isolate, okay? And so when you think about isolate, isolate's really simple. What has happened is processing of the hemp in order to turn it into an oil, or especially a CBD oil. When you use isolation, you are literally pulling out just CBD. And so this should be a 100% or a close to or approaching 100% fully oil that just simply has CBD in it, okay? And so that is an isolate. A distillate is something a little bit more so processed than a full spectrum, okay? And that's really all I necessarily want to say about a distillate pulls out a little bit more so in terms of like sort of like the naturally occurring like chlorophyll, some of the or quite a bit of the terpenes and things like that. And we'll talk about terpenes here in a second. But really, the distillate is on its way of becoming something that would be more processed like an isolate in order to be able to just get the CBD out. So it's sort of like an intermediary. Then you've got full spectrum, okay? And full spectrum is something that there has a little bit of a legal ramification to it. And let me explain what that means. Well, in a full spectrum, you are literally extracting the plant in order to pull off the trichomes, which is where all of the wonderful little terpenes and even cannabinoids like to hang out at, is like right there in that little CBD flower, if you will, which is the bud of the plant. That we extract out both the terpenes and the cannabinoids from that. And then it is sort of like a crude oil. There's a couple different ways to do it. You can do one is called CO2 extraction, which is the use of carbon dioxide. And then there's another one called like an ethanol extraction or even cryoethanol extraction. Both of them, very good processes in order to be able to pull out all of the wonderful cannabinoids and the terpenes out of the plant. But with full spectrum, remember, you're getting all of the different cannabinoids, okay? It's not being further processed down to where it's just an isolate product. And so you're going to have some resident THC in there. And so the THC legal limit is less than 0.3% by weight, okay? Like it cannot be above that. And so it's very important to ensure that whatever product you're going to consider consuming, that you do in fact look at something called the certificate of analysis, which will let you know what are all the different cannabinoids that are in there. And from that, you got to be able to see, like, is this going to be less than 0.3% total in order for this to be considered a legal product, okay? But with that being said, there are so many different factors that play into it, which we'll talk about once again here in a few, but the biggest thing is that there is THC within a full spectrum product. And so if you're going to consume that product or utilize it, if you have a profession in which you are being randomly drug tested, then there is a possibility that you may in fact actually make your drug test be positive for the metabolites of THC when quite honestly you're not really doing anything more so than consuming illegal product. And so I urge you to make sure that you do the research, speak to your employers, and don't just willy-nilly kind of jump into a product, because there is a possibility, although it's not likely, there is a possibility that you actually could be considered positive on your analysis. But if that's not the case, then you are going to receive the benefits of all the different cannabinoids and all the terpenes that are inside of a full spectrum product. And that's the reason why I like to talk about this in terms of the entourage effect, is what researchers are calling it. You know, I look at their entourage effect, which is the effect of all the different cannabinoids inside of the human body and all of the different supportive capabilities, the synergistic properties of all those different cannabinoids and terpenes inside of, say, a full spectrum product. And you can receive the benefit of all of those. And that's something that we like to call the entourage effect. That is what researchers are referring to as that effect. I think about it like this in terms of a metaphor of a salad, right? I know that a salad, if done right, it could be a very healthy thing. The thing is, though, is that if I either make a salad or I go to a restaurant and I order a salad, am I really just going to eat a plate of lettuce? That to me is like what the CBD isolate is. I'm doing a good thing. I'm eating lettuce. I know that lettuce is a healthy thing. I know lettuce is nutritional. But the problem is that I need to have all of those different things inside of it to actually make it a salad. And so that would be the difference between like a CBD isolate and then thinking about like a full spectrum. Full spectrum, you're going to get all those different things like tomatoes and onions and mushrooms. And stop me if I'm, you know, giving you anything that you don't like on a salad, but it's really all of that stuff to include the dressing that makes a salad a salad. And so that's the difference between full spectrum and CBD. So you're going to get benefit with CBD isolate, absolutely, because we know of the benefits of cannabidiol in the human body. But if you do a full spectrum, then you could get that entourage effect, and you're going to be able to possibly have even better benefit using a full spectrum product, okay? So that is the difference between all of those. Now, I did say that I wanted to talk about terpenes, and I promise we'll do that really quickly here. So terpenes are additional components that actually are defined as the things that give, the components that give a plant its aromatic properties. And so there are many, many different terpenes in a lot of different products. You've got, you know, say lemon, for example, or any type of a citrus fruit. One of the more well-known terpenes in that is something called limonene. Limonene is a really fantastic thing, especially if you're going to use like a citrus-based cleaning product, because that limonene terpene has the capability of actually cutting greasy things. So like if you think like, you know, you got like some oil or something like that spilled on your countertop, the reason why lemon oil cleans so well, or the reason why a lemon containing product cleans so well, is because it cuts, you know, through that. It helps to disperse the oil better, and so it'll help clean and sanitize. Okay, so that's like one of the most well-known ones is limonene. So then you've got other terpenes that are present in hemp, okay? There's stuff like myrcene, which is a really fantastic one. There's one called carophyllin, another really, really good terpene that gives a lot of therapeutic benefit. Another one that is closely related, which is known as an isomer of it, is one called humulene. And so all of these different terpenes help with the overall entourage effect that I just spoke about in order to help a full spectrum product really be beneficial inside of the body, because there is this wonderful blend of both the cannabinoids as well as the terpenes, and all of those actually play into consideration with the overall benefit, the therapeutic benefit of hemp. And so that is we talked about what is hemp. We talked about cannabinoids, and then we talked about, you know, a little bit more so about what the entourage effect is, and then what are your different types of full spectrum versus distillate versus isolate. Now, let me backtrack just a little bit, and let's also talk about something that I kind of see is overlooked, is this understanding of really just how can hemp actually work in terms of the cannabinoid itself. Okay. And so that's why I want to get into the conversation of what is the endocannabinoid system. So we talked about the product itself. Now let's talk about like sort of like what it can do in the human body, right? So in your genes, in your genetics, we are absolutely 100% coded for having something called the endocannabinoid system. The endocannabinoid system responds to what is considered an endogenous cannabinoid, okay? So like we have different ones like anandamide is one of them. And then there's some other ones that we now know that are these sort of feel-good endorphins is sort of what they're more commonly known as. But what they are is they go and specifically bind to these receptors, and they help give us a feeling of calmness. They help regulate our body temperature, and they help regulate our mood and focus and all that kind of stuff. And so those are ones that are created by your body. Those are known as endo, or like it's created inside of the body, okay? Endocannabinoids. Then you've got what we've been talking about in terms of hemp or marijuana. You have phytocannabinoids. So these are ones that are plant-based, phyto meaning plant. And so whenever we consider starting utilization of a hemp product, we are going to consume phytocannabinoids, okay? And then there's a bunch of really cool research about how like the consumption of phytocannabinoids does a really great job of like helping support your body's natural ability to create its own endocannabinoids, which is pretty awesome. But we won't go into those kind of details on this talk today. But lastly, then we have some other ones that are out there, which are considered exogenous type of cannabinoids or even synthetic types of cannabinoids. And those are like where, you know, we're not going to go into the realm of that. That's more of like what the pharmaceutical companies are out there doing with one of their FDA approved medications and stuff like that for like seizures and stuff like that. But that is, you know, those types of synthetic cannabinoids as well. And so those are all the different types of cannabinoids and all the different things that we could talk about with hemp. And so I would offer to you is that, you know, consideration of starting something like a phytocannabinoid supplement can be very beneficial to you, okay? But remember, it's only a small piece of a relatively large puzzle. And that's the reason why I wanted to talk about it on today's podcast was because we are looking at the overall broad strokes of what I like to call, I actually just talked to a buddy on the phone earlier about this, is that I don't look at it as, you know, marijuana is known as the gateway drug. Well, I think that hemp and like CBD oils can be the gateway to better wellness. Like if you start feeling better because you're considering using one of these products, or actually, matter of fact, listening to this call and you're using one of these products now and you're feeling better, well, then you could start sitting there going, gosh, if I can feel better like this because of just this particular supplement, then what about cleaning up my diet? Or what about getting out and moving more? Or now that I'm, you know, maybe my discomfort is reducing and I'm getting a little bit better sleep. So like now, like, gosh, I can go out and like go on walks now because I don't hurt as bad, right? You speaking of better sleep, it can maybe help you get better sleep so you can start being more rested. So you can start tackling those movement routines better. You know, and then of course it could also have positive benefit with your stress. And so that's why like I paint this big picture because, you know, it can be a gateway into better health and better choices, which is what unconventional wellness is all about. My program aims to look at the whole person because we don't want to focus on just one particular aspect of, say, the foundation of a building. Like the reason why all these really great old ancient buildings are still standing is because they had great foundations and massive pillars, which really help support the entire building. That's why they've been able to withstand the test of time. And that's how unconventional wellness works, is that we build a really great solid foundation. We build really good pillars in order to have your wellness pass the test of time. Okay. And so that's all I've got for today. Please, by subscribing to this podcast. I want to be able to continue to bring you great content about all things wellness that I possibly can. Whatever I've got stuffed into this brain of mine, I want to make sure that you are aware of it. I will always make sure I do my due diligence and prudent research before I just jump on here and try to talk about something that might be a hot topic, but you know, I don't want you to walk away from this being misinformed or ill-informed. And so subscribes are really, really great for me. Share this, please, with others. Right there, if you're listening to us on iTunes or Spotify or whatever, you can share this podcast with others. And then most of all, I am begging, because this is what will help make unconventional wellness even easier for other people to find and help, is to give me a rating and a review. If you think that this is a stellar podcast, 5 stars, please put it on there so my podcast can reach others as they're searching for things and looking for answers, especially our veterans. I want to make sure that they can find this podcast so they can have this unconventional wellness that I am able to live every single day. And I hope that you're joining me on this journey so you can live it every day as well. But like I started, this is Frank. This is Unconventional Wellness Radio. I appreciate you listening to this podcast, and I can't wait to talk to you again next week. Take care, everybody.